Well, please do keep 2 Corinthians 8 open in front of you. I know that some of you are looking at your watch at this point, thinking, what time did I set the timer to come on for lunch? And how long is the vicar going to preach for? We've already had a lot in the service, for which I'm very grateful, both from John about DAI and also from Rod. And I want to draw your attention to 2 Corinthians 8 and to draw together some of those threads. And that, if you're lucky, that might mean I preach a little shorter. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. We pray that you would feed and nourish and inspire us by it. Help us, Lord, to love what we hear and to live by it. In Jesus' name, amen. I do want to say a great big thank you to Rob. Rob is not here this morning, coincidentally, I hasten to add. But Rob has served us wonderfully, and if he was here, I would bring him up and give him a bottle of wine, but I'll give it to him on Tuesday on your behalf to say thanks for his great work. And also to say thank you very much to Rod, who has actually worked very incredibly hard, as you can tell from the slides that you've had this morning. I'm also slightly hesitant to say this, but just because you come and talk to me doesn't mean to say I will ask you to be treasurer or to take on any other Herculean task. I may you know, moderate my ask depending on who comes, but I am really appreciative of Rod, and do pray for him and for PCC. And then just thirdly to say that I know that what we've just heard this morning is quite sobering. It's a reality check. I do also agree with Rod that that there are opportunities, that God blesses us in so many ways, and some of the ways in which he does that is making us realize how dependent we are on him for everything. And that's really what I want to think about in the sermon. I had a little poster on my notice board in my last job. I didn't actually bring it with me. I thought I'd leave it to my successor. But it said something like this, that every opportunity that we have comes cunningly disguised as a series of impossible situations. And actually, I think that often reflects what it's like to be in God's church. That it's often when God brings us to a period of trial and desperation that it drives us to pray, it drives us to seek him wholeheartedly. And I do think that that is some of what's going on in the life of our church at the moment. I don't know if you heard the story about a multimillionaire who was once asked how he came about his enormous wealth. And he told the story, he said, well, when I was 20, I didn't go off to university, and I came from a fairly poor family, and he had 20 cents in my pocket. And with that 20 cents, I went and bought a rosy red apple. And I took that apple and I washed it and I polished it on my shirt and I sold it for 40 cents. Good markup. And he said, I was so pleased with that I took that 40 cents and I bought two more apples and I washed them and I polished them up and I sold them for 80 cents. And he said, I did this for a period of several weeks. And then my mother's uncle died and left me £200 million. Great story. I suspect it might not be true. But actually, even that poor joke illustrates a couple of things. It illustrates the fact that, you know, if we do nothing else, we should be diligent in the tasks that God has given us to do. Every one of us, that's why the stewardship language of the Bible is so important. We're to do what we can with what we've got to his glory, and that applies to us as individuals and it applies to us as a church. And the second thing from that is also to say that sometimes God blesses us far beyond we could ever expect. And when that happens, I think that the Bible assumes that we will be, it's all of a piece of what it means to respond rightly to God in worship. And really, the main take home from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, which is where we are now going to go for a few minutes, is grace. We talk about that word an awful lot. Grace is not the flippant use of our resources. Grace is not frivolous expectations, nor is it foundationless hope. Grace is at the heart of the Christian faith. Can somebody click that forward for me? It's not working, but it's not essential. We sometimes remember that the word generally is that we began this world with nothing, and you can't take it with you when you go. Everything else in between is a gift of God. And I know that for me, that requires a bit of a shift in mindset. I'm inclined to think that, you know, what I've got in my bank account and what I've got in my possession is mine. But actually, the Bible reminds us consistently that everything that I've got is a gift from God. And there's a real tendency, I think, that, you know, we think that because we've worked hard and we've been rewarded rightly for our hard work, that actually then what I've got is my own. And I'm free to dispose of, possibly even to dispose of incredibly generously. But actually, the Bible consistently says everything that I've got is a gift. And if that's true for every human being, it's supreme. Chapter 8, but you know this verse well, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Actually, it's a great text for Christmas, isn't it? That Jesus left behind all of the privilege and wealth of heaven, came as a humble baby, came to this world, so rewarding about giving generously that if we, you know, it's not that we're doing it to get a reward, but there's a privilege, isn't there? Now, there's a bit of discussion, by the way. I'm just doing a final circle, and then I'm coming into land in a minute, so just in case you're worried about timing. These verses here, Paul seems to be saying that I want to give you my judgment, my guidance. He doesn't seem to be saying, this is what I command you in the Lord to do. He just seems to be saying, look, we need the wisdom of God to work this one out. And this is, bit of the law was related to Israel in the land and was related to not just the giving actually of their financial resources, but everything else that they had. But then as soon as you answer no, then you read the rest of the Pauline letters where it says, because actually that was like a baseline from which we are free to give so much more. So by saying no, that bit of the law doesn't quite apply in that way, he's saying because you're actually freer to give more generously. Now again, what you give is between you and the Lord. And I'm very grateful that Rob pointed out that, you know, I don't know other members of staff, other members of the PCC, you don't know what people give. And I don't want to know. It's between you and the Lord. This principle of setting aside 10% or something around like that and giving, I think, first of all, primarily to the work of your local church, but not exclusively, and then also giving to other charitable and Christian causes is a good guideline. But we should be prayerful about how we do that. And then the second principle, which is where he actually ends up with, the very end of chapter 8, which is this quote from Exodus 16. My apologies to the reader, but I think I must have done a typo somewhere along the way, because we were supposed to have Exodus 16, not Exodus 6, and you were probably wondering why we were reading that passage. Because in Exodus 16, it was just a test, you have this principle of manna. And you remember when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, they cried out because they were hungry, and they cried out for God to provide, and God provided manna each day. There was enough for them to eat each day. If some of them stockpiled it, then they went to eat it the following day and it had gone off, although there was a Sabbath principle whereby they could collect double the day before the Sabbath and still have enough for the following day. And something for you to pray for as you think about your giving. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't think that means that you don't have any savings. I don't think it means you don't have a mortgage. But I think it does mean that we think about trusting God for all of our future supplies. Now, where's your joy and your satisfaction in the Lord? And I'm conscious my time has run out. Where I want to end is to say that there is a huge challenge in front of us, and I'm really encourage you to be prayerful as we seek to be wise with what you give for God's kingdom. But I also want us to be the generous church that we have been, both in terms of giving to mission and helping causes, of Christian work, and also in planting, growing the church. So growing this church in health and numbers, but also ultimately growing into Long Cross and beyond. And I'm really excited, actually, to be at the position we are in a church. And please, God, let him enable us to serve him faithfully so many, many more men, women, and children will come to a living faith of him and know the great grace that Paul speaks about so consistently in 2 Corinthians. Let's pray together, shall we, as we finish. Father God, thank you so much for all of your riches that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ and for your great generosity in him. And we pray that we would know your grace, would enjoy that grace, being forgiven, of knowing the many blessings you put into our hand, and that we would use them, Lord, to glorify you, to serve your people, and to hold out the gospel to those who so desperately need to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen.